month. So I almost said 1 Corinthians, but the book of Acts, chapter 18. We've been studying the friends of the Apostle Paul. And very interesting, actually, one of the things that I have gleaned from these studies is it really gives me a sense of, number one, some of the details of the missionary journeys of Paul, and number two, some of how those are connected to the letters that are written in the New Testament by Paul. And so tonight, I want to visit a couple. Their names are Aquila and Priscilla. So friends of Paul, Aquila and Priscilla. Acts chapter 18, it tells us after these things, verse 1, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus lately, come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. So we see here the Apostle Paul is now going to come across this couple. Now, Aquila and Priscilla, let me just kind of right up front, I won't put up the map this week. As we saw last week, how many missionary journeys did Paul go on? Three. How many times did he go to Rome? Twice. All right. And if you remember, Paul did the three missionary journeys, and then he was sent to Rome after the situation in the book of Acts. And then he had left Rome, and we come to the point where he dies back in Rome. Now, that being the case, let me fill in the blanks with Aquila and Priscilla. The Bible here tells us that they were from Italy. Look here in chapter 18, verse 2. From Rome. So they were coming from that area. Why were they coming from Rome to Corinth? Why did they go there? Well, it says in verse 2, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. And so it's interesting that probably what happened is that we have some historical documents of this, that Caesar said, you know, he lumped Jews and Christians, and the fact that the Jews were fighting over Christ, he said, you guys just all leave. And so here comes this couple, Aquila and Priscilla. While they find themselves in Corinth. Corinth, one of the major centers of the first century world. Someone has said that the problem with the Corinthian church is that instead of them influencing Corinth, Corinth influenced them. But I'm getting ahead of myself because the church is just now getting started in chapter 18. Well, if you look at chapter 18, verse 18, that after Paul had been, and if you look at verse 11, you'll see in chapter 18, he was there how long? So a year and a half. And after Paul had tarried there, verse 18, then took he leave of the brethren and sailed thence from Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. Now, having shorn his head, that's referring to Paul, in Centuria, he had a vow. And again, we see that this is probably the conclusion of a Nazarite vow. But we're told here that he left them, verse 19, he came to Ephesus and left them there. So, which means that Aquila and Priscilla are where? in Ephesus. They're in Ephesus. And what happens is that Paul, after he drops them off there, he heads out and goes to Jerusalem. And on his way back from his third missionary journey, we're told that he comes back to Ephesus. Now, before Paul comes back, we're told in verse 26 that there was a man named Apollos that we'll look at another time, probably next week, that he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, of whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he disposed to pass into Achaia, which is the Corinth area, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And so we're told that here's Paul back in Jerusalem, and here's Aquila and Priscilla continuing the work in Ephesus. Well, Paul comes back, and when he comes back to Ephesus, we're told that he taught in a school, chapter 19, verse 9, in a school of one, this very end of verse 9, unto the school of one Tyrannus. So, in other words, he was teaching in a school, and by the way, he's connecting to the Colossae church. If you were to look at the churches in the book of Revelation, those regions there, Paul was connecting to those churches from Ephesus. In verse 10, and this continued by the space of what? 2 years. And we're told that it was in that time, if you remember, that there was the riot that took place in chapter 19 at the end of that, where there was Diana of the Ephesians. And we're told in chapter 20, verse 1, after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto his disciples, embraced them, and departed to go into Macedonia. Now, if you look at chapter 20, verse 21, that chapter, did I write the wrong verse down? I did. Chapter 19, verse 21. I did write the wrong verse down. Chapter 19, verse 21, it says, after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must see Rome. So, which means that Paul had intentions of, after his third missionary journeys, to go on a journey to visit Rome. Does he do that? Yes or no? You sound questionable when you say yes. Okay. How did he get to Rome? Remember, he was arrested, so over 2 years had gone by. Now, there is some speculation here, but not too much speculation, that Aquila and Priscilla, while Paul was going back to Jerusalem, Aquila and Priscilla went to Rome to be able to, whatever, maybe to set the groundwork for Paul's coming. And we know that is the case, because we're told in Romans chapter 16, it says in verse 3 that Priscilla and Aquila, in verse 5, it says the church that is in their house. So Paul is greeting Aquila and Priscilla in Rome. So after about 2 years, maybe they decided, you know, Paul's not coming. But of course, we know why Paul didn't come, because he had been in house arrest at the end of the book of Acts. So apparently, Paul eventually gets to Rome. We don't know if Aquila and Priscilla were there when he got there, but we know that, and we'll see that passage in Romans in a little bit here, but when Paul finally leaves Rome on his first imprisonment, and he goes back into his second imprisonment, he had written, anybody remember what book? Now I realize, you know, I'm studying this all the time, I don't know how much you're following this. Does anybody remember what the last book of Paul's? Second Timothy. Because it's in Second Timothy chapter 4 that the Apostle Paul says, I am my departure is at hand. And it's in Second Timothy that Paul salutes Aquila and Priscilla back in Ephesus. So apparently this is what we see here, that Aquila and Priscilla went from Rome to Corinth with Paul to Ephesus, stayed there probably about 3 years, then went to Rome, and then came back to Ephesus. All right? Now, that is an interesting thing, but I want us to delve a little bit into this couple, because I think there's at least three things that we can see very clearly here. Number one, the first thing we see about Aquila and Priscilla, they serve the Lord as a couple. They serve the Lord as a couple. It's interesting, isn't it? In chapter 18, you'll see, and he found a certain Jew, verse 2, Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Priscilla is apparently a noble name, so some suggest that she could have been someone born in nobility. But nonetheless, every time you see Aquila, you always see a Priscilla. And every time you see Priscilla, you always see Aquila. And as a matter of fact, they're mentioned in the New Testament 6 times. But what's really fascinating is that 3 times it's Aquila and Priscilla, another 3 times it's Priscilla and Aquila. Now, that is very interesting. They are always together. They served the Lord together. And we're told, if you go over to Romans, let's go over there, and hold your hand in Acts, we'll come back. Romans chapter 16. And in Romans chapter 16, this is how we know they're in Rome. In Romans chapter 16, verse 3. Now, when Paul is writing to the Romans, he had not visited Rome yet. But we're told in verse 3, greet Priscilla. Now, that would be the wife and Aquila. So we find that they had gone to Rome, and so Paul, in writing the book of Romans, says, greet them. And probably the way I suggested is when they went there. Now, 2 things that we find here about this couple. It says in verse 3, they were my what in Christ Jesus? Helpers. So they were helpers. They helped Paul. They were people that stood by his side. Not just Aquila stood by his side, or Aquila or Priscilla, but they both were helpers. And they served the Lord by upholding the arms of Paul. Now, wouldn't it have been wonderful to know that when you got to heaven, you were the one that didn't fight Paul, but you helped Paul? And what an reward they would get. But we're also told there in chapter 16 In verse 4, they have, for my sake, laid down their own necks, unto whom now only I give thanks. In other words, they risk their lives for Paul. Now, we don't know exactly what they did. Some have suggested maybe during the riot that Paul, under Diana of Ephesians, maybe during that time, they somehow risked their lives. We don't really know. But one thing we do know is that they did risk their lives. They were a team. They were a team. You know, when you get married, the Bible tells us that we're no longer two, but one. Not two people, but one flesh. And it's important to understand that they were serving the Lord together. And it's good to serve the Lord as a family. Now think about this. You know, it's a tragedy when one family member decides, I don't want to have anything to do with the Lord. But when you have the team together, I think of my wife and I. You know, she's my partner. And I just think of all the things we have been through in the last 34 years. And she stood by me. And it's important that we serve the Lord together, that you serve the Lord as a family. See, this is where you get in trouble when, you know, one family member is doing this, another family member is doing this, and everybody's doing their own thing, whereas to serve the Lord together. You know, a family should pray together. Families should read their Bibles together. Families should go to church together. Now, I've not been very successful at this one because of me being up behind the pulpit. They should sit together. They should go visiting together. Think about that. A family visiting another family. As opposed to, you know, everyone doing their own thing. So this is one of the things that we see with Aquila and Priscilla. And what's interesting, the fact that sometimes Priscilla is mentioned first, she may have been a real strong personality. You know, I've never been too intimidated by strong personalities. You watched the personality conflict last night? One personality is very strong, and the other one wasn't as strong. And this is the kind of thing that happens sometimes. You get somebody who's a strong personality, and you can find yourself somewhat timid with that. Now, I don't know, but the very fact that they both did things together, it's really incredible. And the Bible is going and puts it down for us six times in the New Testament that they served the Lord together. So that's why when you're married, you want to serve the Lord together. Don't allow your family to go in different directions. Two, the second thing is very quick here. If you come back to Acts 18, it says here that they found Christian fellowship at their employment. Now that's interesting because we're told in chapter 1, after these things, Paul, this chapter 18, verse 1, he came to Corinth, and verse 2, he found a certain Jew named Aquila. And we're told that it says in verse 3, they were of the same what? Craft. Okay, and he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. Hebert says this, upon arrival at Corinth, Paul would have no trouble finding others of his occupation. Now again, if you probably weren't following because I just flew through this material, but this is right around the time when they came to Corinth is when Silas, remember Silas, Paul sent him back to the Philippians. Paul sent Timothy back up to Thessalonica, and Paul was basically running out of money. So the Philippians and the Thessalonians sent money to Paul, which kind of helped him in ministry. But what's important to recognize that when he did not have money, he supported himself by getting a job. Now, it's important to recognize that Jewish children, they learned a trade, and in order that they would be always have something to fall back on. And Paul had learned tent making. And Hebert says they would be concentrated in one place in the city, these tent makers, shortly before Aquila and Priscilla had found their way to the street of tent makers and established their business. Now Luke's statement, they were tent makers. You notice that. They were tent makers. And clearly indicates that the wife also used her skill in cutting and sewing the tent cloth. And Paul found employment with them and wrought the imperfect tense, denoting his steady work with them at the task. Now, I wonder at what point Paul thought, I need to witness to this couple. And really, we don't know. Probably Paul did not lead these people, this couple to the Lord, because it doesn't say that. But somehow, one way or another, they found out they were Christians. Where are you from? Well, I'm from Pontus. We came from Italy. Where are you from? Tarsus. Really? What got you into tent making? Well, I'm actually here doing this tent work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? We do. Well, how did you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? And they could have talked along that way. And interesting that they did not keep quiet at their work about Jesus. They talked about the things of the Lord. I wonder how many people, when they're at work, kind of quietly don't let others know I'm a Christian. Well, there was fellowship there at their appointment. And one thing I would ask you is this: do people at your job know you're a Christian? Sometimes you got to tell them that often. And then, something you'd said the other day, Dave, that's so true, that sometimes it's so hard to be consistent. And when you are working your job and you know that you are now being scrutinized by people because they're going to say, he calls himself a Christian. I heard him do this or saw him do this. So you got to keep a testimony. It's a lot easier to just simply say, well, you know, I'm a Christian. Someone asks me, I'll tell them, but I'm just not going to make a big deal about it. That was not Paul, Aquila, and Priscilla. So my challenge to you is this: do people know you are a Christian where you work? The third thing that we see about them, and this is probably most notable, is that they were hospitable. They were hospitable. Now, we're told here in Acts chapter 18, verse 3, that not only was he of the same craft, but what else did Paul do? He abode with them. He stayed in their home. And here we have at least for a year and a half, they were entertaining this guy named Paul. Could you imagine having Paul in your home? Now, again, we look back through the window of history. Hindsight is what? 20/20? And we could say, whoa, that would be quite a challenge to think, you know, we entertained the great Apostle Paul. But you know, regardless of what Paul was or was going to become, the Bible tells us that they entertained him. And interestingly enough, if you look at chapter 18, verse 26, now we quickly mentioned Apollos, that here Aquila and Priscilla, now Paul's gone, Aquila and Priscilla go to the synagogue, which shows you that there really wasn't really much of an, there was a close association with Christians in the synagogue, if you were a Jew. And the scripture tells us that while Apollos begins to preach, verse 26, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and sitting in the audience is Aquila and Priscilla. And they had heard him. And they took unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So when it says they took him unto them, I can just imagine Aquila and Priscilla said, you know, you're a good speaker. Why don't you come over to our house today? And he comes over there, and they said, you know, probably in a very gracious way, as people who are hospitable can do, probably said, you know, I'm not too sure if you kind of got that quite right. They were very hospitable. Not only were they hospitable to Apollos and to the Apostle Paul, but if you look over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we see that it tells us in chapter 16, verse 19, here's Paul writing, and while Paul is writing from Ephesus, this is after, I won't even go into when it was, so after he's writing from Ephesus, in verse 19, the churches of Asia salute you. You see that? Okay, now notice this. Aquila and Priscilla salute you in the Lord. Now remember, this is a church back in Corinth that they were familiar with. But it says, with the church that is where? In their house. So, we're told that they had church in their house. Look over back over to Romans again. And, of course, Paul is writing to the church at Rome in Romans chapter 16 and verse 5. And now, let's begin with verse 3. Greet who? Priscilla and Aquila. Verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is where? So when they go to Rome, they invited folks over to their home and they held a church. And so what we find is that they were very, very hospitable. Now, I have a book here and I've quoted from it on different occasions over the years, 19 Gifts of the Spirit by Leslie B. Flynn, which is a man. And he writes this. He talks about hospitality. And let me just read a little bit to you about the gift of hospitality. A postman from Oregon and his wife recently traveled halfway across the country to a strange city where she was to be hospitalized. The only people they knew there were a young professor and his wife who had worshipped briefly in the postman's home church more than 5 years before. Reports the postman, quote, during the first week, my wife received good care in the hospital. People we had not known before opened their homes to me so that each of my nights was spent in the warmth of Christian love and fellowship. I stayed in three different homes and had a place to lodge for as long as we were in the city. One woman baked a birthday cake for my wife, though they had never met until the cake was presented at the hospital. the advantage to the postman, no lonely motel, less expense, the benefits to his wife, she knew she had friends in the city praying for her and her birthday was brightened. The dividends to the hosts, they discovered anew that it was more blessed to give than to receive. That entertaining strangers brings its reward. The postman speculates that his experience was more the exception than the rule. Perhaps the families he contacted were more dedicated or more comfortably situated to help than the average Christian is. He asked these basic questions. Why were these homes open to me? And why was I bold enough to present my need for Christian love and support? In answer, he points out that the Bible has much to say on this matter. We are to bear each other's burdens to do good to all men, especially to the household of fellow believers, and to practice hospitality. So this is a biblical injunction. So what is hospitality? Flynn says, hospitality is frequently given in the New Testament. It tells us in Romans 12, verse 13, we should be given to hospitality. Titus and Timothy tells us that an elder should be a lover of hospitality. We're told in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Why? Because some have entertained angels unaware. And so Flynn, in talking about this, says in many congregations today, one or more families with an extra apartment or an extra bedroom with private bath take special delight in entertaining guest evangelists, Bible teachers, missionaries. These gracious hosts know when to engage their guest in conversation and when to let him meditate by himself. They have the knack of making him feel at home. This practice of hospitality goes back to the earliest New Testament days. So there are some blessings to hospitality to the recipient. Certainly the person entertained in another home receives numerous blessings. More fellow believers than we realize have need for acceptance, fellowship, and love. Single adults, college students, those in the armed forces, families when the mother is away or hospitalized, people in the process of moving, missionaries, and not when just arriving or about to leave, all do profit from hospitality. It's not a magnitude of menu, nor excellence of entertainment that matters, but rather the warmth of wantonness and oneness, not lavish display, but a cup of cold water given in Jesus' love will more than suffice. The gift of hospitality provides this kind of fellowship. Now to the host, no genuinely hospitable person entertains with the hope of getting a return invitation. In fact, Jesus said to invite those who cannot repay. And so there is a great advantage to hospitality. And I can think of over the years where I've traveled and I've gone and I didn't have the ability to stay in a hotel. And there were homes that were opened up to us. And I think this is something that we really need to be praying about. I think our church is lacking in this. For instance, we're going to have a family of eight come a week from Sunday. We're going to have two missionaries that are going to be coming in the beginning of November. And sometimes what ends up happening is sometimes a person is thinking, well, I hope somebody else does it. You know, we have meal sign-ups. We've had people in the past where somebody is here and they say, you know, I want to take you and see something. That's hospitality. And as a result, when we consider the this incredible couple. It wasn't like one. I mean, I know of a missionary whose wife was very hospitable and he hated it every minute. And he ended up committing adultery and left her because they had people over all the time. Well, that's not what you want. You want to have a team effort and to serve the Lord with gladness. And this is Aquila and Priscilla. And if you can imagine in heaven one day, they were just good hosts. They served the Lord and they sacrificed for the Lord. Now, Father, we thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to meet in your house. I pray that you would just help us to learn from these incredible people, Aquila and Priscilla, this couple who served the Lord as a couple, this couple who, even in working together as a couple, they talked with others about the Lord Jesus. And Lord, this couple that was very hospitable, who not only housed the Apostle Paul, but also housed Christians in their homes. Lord, give us a church, Lord, that is hospitable, and may you get the glory for all that's done for Jesus' sake. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming.